Welcome back. Today's daf is daf Tzadi Vav. So let's take it to the bottom of Tzadi Hey and Bey just to finish up. We're up to the words Amr of Asi, five lines up. So we're talking about just Dinam of Tumah V'Tahara, what size holes will render a kli no longer a kli and make it tahor. So we had five different midos, five different measurements the Gemara went through. So with respect to, you know, a gistera, which is like a broken piece of pottery, or with regards to collecting mechatas. So the Gemara says, Amr of Asi, Shemati kli cheres, I heard that shiuro kimotzi rimon, that with respect to a pottery kli, so if there's a hole the size of a rimon, the pomegranate could fit through, so then that's possible. So Amar Le, Rava says back to him, Shema lo shemata ela, perhaps you only heard this with respect to b'mukaf tzamed psil, which we said was a container that had a seal on top of it, and it's able to preserve what's inside, prevent it from getting tumas mace, so only if it has a hole the size of a rimon, maybe that's what you heard about. So he says, no, v'ha Rava hu damar, Tzamed psil ad shi paches rubo. No, the shear of a sealed kli cheres is not a nekev that's the size of rimon. Rather, it's when half of it, more than half of it, rov, has been broken loose, and then the tumah is able to penetrate. But not the shear of a rimon. So Gemara says, Lokasha, there is no contradiction. Ha b'rav rivei ha b'zutri. One's a big kli, one's a small kli. Meaning one's a tzamed psil that is big, and one's that small. What does that mean? So Rashi and Tosafot have a machlokas here. Rashi says on the top, Biravire birubo. If you're talking about a large kli, so if there's a size of a rimon won't make much of an impact, has to be half or more than half of the kli to now allow the tumas mace to penetrate. But Zutri Rashi says if it's small, kemotzi rimon, batale mikli. If it's a small kli, so if there's a size that's a rimon which would be more significant, so then that's enough to no longer protect that which is inside from tumas mace. So Tosas takes issue, and Tosas says, "Perish bekuntris, rav revei berubo zutre bekumotzi rimon vekashelri." Zayin de shear. That's not a shear. Well, what type of shear is that? Ma kari river rav revei ma kari zutre. How do you define big? How do you define a small kli? It's very arbitrary. So he says, "Lei de ezahu kumotzi rimon." So therefore, Nira the real Ria thinks the rav revei kumotzi rimon, a large kli. Then a large kli, if there's a hole the size of rimon, that's going to make a large kli no longer protected, no longer tzamed psil. But if it's a zutre, shemotzi rimon, hu yoser mirov, sagi mirov. But if you have a small kli, whereby if the rimon can fit through, that's more than a rov, meaning all you need is a rov. That, again, the measurement of a kli is, if the kli is less than a rimon size, or less than half a rimon, or double, let's say it again, a small kli, if a rimon hole will be more than rov, that's the definition of a small kli. So anything less than that, where 51% is less than a rimon, that's going to render it a kli. That's the definition of a kli. The size of the hole of the circumference. The circumference. But circumference is flat. I'm not sure how to do the 3D circumference. But yeah, either way, the shell of the kli, if a rimon,
the biggest edges have to consider.
Exactly. The amount has to be less than twice a rimon. But that's the definition of small.
And then what? Then it's not a kli?
Then it's not a kli anymore.
And if it's not a kli,
anything inside will become tumas mace. But if it's a big kli, where a rimon won't be rov, but rimon's still significant, it could be a huge kli, but a rimon, that will make a big kli, a large kli, that will make it no longer kli, and anything inside will not be protected and will be subject to tumas mace. Okay, the Gemara now says, now in Tzadi Vav, today's daf, Amar of Asi, Shonen, we learn in the Braisa, kli cheres shiuro bekones mashke, that a kli cheres, if there's a hole that allows water to enter inside, so then velo amru moti mashke elo le'inyan gistera, bilvat. When we said the hole is large enough not to allow water to leak out, but water to come inside, which was a bit of a larger shear, so then that only applies to a gistera, a broken pot. But if it's a real kli, gistera was a broken piece of pottery, which you could somehow use anyways. But that's only this shear of motzi mashke. I'm sorry, let me say that again. The kli cheres is shiro bekonis mashke. A real kli, you need a large enough shear to allow water to enter in. But when it comes to a gistera, it's even a small shear, motzi shear. To have water leak out, that's the smallest shear possible. We had motzi was a small shear. Machnis, entering in, is a bit of a larger shear. So motzi was only applied to a gistera. A broken piece of pottery that you're able to still use, once there's a tiny hole in it, that renders it possible. Why? My taima. Amar Marzutra Bered Rav Nachman Lefish Ein Omrim Hava Gister Legister. We don't say bring a piece of broken pottery to protect the piece of broken pottery. In other words, if I let's have a metal pot and there's a little hole in it, so I'll take another metal and patch it up. But let's say I've got a broken metal, so I'll use it for whatever I use. Now that broken metal breaks again, I'm not going to get another broken metal to plug it. So Rashi says,
To patch a patch.
What's the point in doing that? So Rashi just says this to make this clear. Shein omrim hava gistera acheres legistera zu, to bring a broken pottery to protect another broken pottery, a patch like you said, laniach tachtel lekabel tipen, to catch all the drips of the already broken gistera. About kli shem, if kli shalim, if it's a full kli, a full pot, chas chasinov, we want to be careful, we don't want to just throw it out, and therefore we're willing to patch one hole. Umishim neka port, the tiny hole, lo shadile, a person won't throw it out just because a little water is leaking out of it. Umanich and gistra tachtav, you'll patch it up with another piece of pottery on the outside. But once that gistra has a hole in it, a tiny hole, there's no longer no need to protect it. So then the Gemara says, still on the same topic, Amar Ula, pligi bat tre amaroi b'marav, and in the West in Eretz Yisrael, two amaram argued. We'll see what they argue about. Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Yossi bar Zavda, Chadamar Kimoti Rimon, Chadamar Kishorish Kata. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell us what we're talking about, which topic. The Rashi and Tosafot will argue, but the shear that we're describing, at least, one said Motzi Rimon, which was the largest shear, and one was Motzi Shorish Katan, a tiny root will leave, that's a small shear. So one says the biggest shear, one says the smallest shear. And the Simanach, the mnemonic here, Echad Amar BeEchad Amamin, either the biggest or the smallest. Meaning we had before that there were five midos of holes. The hole, smallest was the Motzi, which we're saying is the same as the Shorish Katan. The Motzi, a tiny bit of water, and the highest was Motzi Rimon. So they both said the extremes here. Either one said the smallest, Echad Mamed, or Echad Amar, the largest. These are the number one and number five in the scale. So this is a mnemonic to help remember that these are the extremes. One says the smallest, one says the largest. So what are we talking about regarding what shear, regarding what halacha? So Rashi says we're talking about linen zraim. In terms of, we spoke about lahach shir zraim, if there's if there's something in a pot and there's a tiny hole, so what makes it connected to the ground? A small hole or a big hole? So that's a machlokas, connecting it to the ground. But Tosos, look at Tosos pligiba all the way in the bottom. Tosos says pligiba tre amarai perish bekuntris. He first quotes Rashi. The linen hech shir zraim pligi, the argument hech shir zraim. For Omer Rabbeinu Tam argues the Maseches Uksin Tanan Hech Shizram Kishorish Katan. There's a clear Mishnah without a Machlokes. The Mishnah clearly states that the shear of Hech Shizram is Shorish Katan. There's no debate there. So if the Mishnah is clear, how could the Maram come along and argue? So he says it can't be talking about Linyan Hech Shizram. Ela Omer Rabbeinu Tam Linyan Mukaf Tzamit Psil Pligi. They're arguing about that halacha of a pottery sealing that which is inside. What renders this no longer Kli? Is it a small hole of a Shorish Katan, or is it the largest hole of a Motzi Rimon? So the Gemara now concluding this parak, Amar Rav Chinuna bar Kana Mishmei de Rabbi Eliezer, Kli Charis Shiuro Kemotzi Zesim. If Kli Charis, a hole that's large enough to allow olives to pass through, that renders it no longer Kli. Umar Kshisha Bre de Rabba Messiah ba Mishmei de Rabbi Eliezer, and he concluded, V'hare, such a Kli Charis with a nekiv of Zayas, Harehen kikli agalalim, mukli avanim, mukli adama. They're no different than such a pottery pot becomes no different than utensils made of excrement or dirt or rocks, which she'ein makablin tuma lo medivrei Torah v'lo medivrei sofrim. These things are not makabel tuma, as Rashi says. Hare who has Rashi kikli galalim she mishenikav kamoti zayis. These kalim, once a hole the size of a zayis is there, afil yachdam the rimonim. Even if you want to designate them for using pomegranates, and pomegranates won't pass through the hole of a zayis. Once there's a kazayis of a hole in there, hadisan kli bali batim shirum kirimonim gavi kli eitz taninim. The halacha of a shir rimonim of pomegranates, that's regarding a wooden kli. But regarding a kli galalim and kli avanim and kli adama, a size of a zayis is enough to render it no longer kli. And that we're applying as well to kli cheres. Kli cheres is just like kli galalim and kli avanim as well. And the Gemara just concludes, the parak concludes, Uleinin Tzamid Psil Ad Shipaches Rubo. Now, with respect to Kli Cheres that's being used with a seal to protect that which is inside, that's not a Shiva Kazayis, that's to whatever is 51% of the size of the Kli. Hajin Lacha Matzniya, not an easy end of a parak, but that's Dinim Tum of Atara. Okay, let's go Vayitim. The new parak, Parak HaZorik, the 11th parak, talks about halachas of Hotsa. It really connects to the first parak of the Masechta, the first few blot. But now we're really getting knee-deep into halachas of Hotsa. So the Gemara says as follows. HaZorik, Mirushus Hayachid Lirushus Rabim, one throws from Yachid to Rabim, or Rishus Rabim Lirushus Hayachid Chayiv. So throwing Zrika is a deraisa to Hotsa. Now, Merishus Hayachid, Lirushus Hayachid, Virushus Harabim Be'emtza, let's say from my house to your house, but it, throwing it over like the Peninsula Boulevard, which perhaps could be Birushus Harabim, so then throwing it over, so then the din is Rabbi Kiva Mechayiv, V'chachamim Pochin. So that's a machlokas about whether or not you're chayiv passing it over an area of Rishus Harabim. So the Gemara explains, Ketzad, how does this work? What's an example of such a Rishus Harabim in the middle? Shtei gustros zu kinegadzu. You have two, Rashi explains, they're almost like porches or decks that are hanging out off a wall, and you throw from one porch to the other porch over the highway. So that's the example here. So that's machlokes, whether you're chai or pat. Then, hamoshit vazorik mizulazu. If you moshit is to pass over, vazorik is to throw from one to the next, one would be pater. So if you just take a look at Rashi, Rashi is a long Rashi, but Rashi explains a little bit where we get all these halachas from, and everything will become clear, I believe. Rashi says, look at Pater, around four narrow lines up in Rashi. Pater. Shloma tzinu zrika voshata bimlechas ha-mishkan, mirushis yachid, v'rochav, rishis rabim, mafsik b'nem. If you look at the model in the Midbar, when they carry the Mishkan, the piece of the Mishkan, you never have a case where they threw or passed over from one Yachid to a Yachid with a Rishus Rabim passing through. Why? Shelo hayisa avodas halevim kein lahoshit krashim me'agala lagalat shibit seda. The way it works was, we'll see a little bit further, but they had two wagons, one in front of the next, and also next to each other. They wouldn't pass to, I think there might be pictures in here. Are there? No, I might have sifted the pictures. So anyway, there, you imagine like four cars. So, you know, the one row of car in front of car two, and another one right next to it in lane the other lane. They wouldn't pass on the side of each other. They pass the one in front of it as they build the Mishkan. Rashi describes all this. So they wouldn't pass again to the one on the side over the Rishus Harabim. Ella liagala shilafana. They'd pass to the wagon right in front of it. Sha'arba agalos hayu livnei merari. Merari had four wagons. Hayu nosin karshi mishkan. They hold the different beams of the mishkan. V'hein holchen shaim keechad zu b'tadu. Two, one after the next, on two different sides, two different lanes. Kedamrin megamar. Uchshayu porkin is a mishkan. When they take apart the mishkan, liton al agalos, to put them on the agalos, the wagons. Hayu mamidim agalos keder halichas. And the wagons were situated the way they would walk and move through the midbar. Shaim zu etzazu. Two next to each other. And Tamach LeMishkan, right next to the Mishkan. Ushtaim Zu Eitzel Zu Lefneim. And they're two closer to the Mishkan. So again, four, like a box almost. Sure. If you see here, this is the Mishkan. Yeah. And these are the two wagons.
Yeah, the wagons are going towards the center.
Exactly.
Of the Gemara.
So they pass this way, they wouldn't pass that way, across. They pass the direction they would travel, the straight.
Front to back,
oh, right.
But they have, right, okay.
So just reading Rashi further, so Rashi says, again, Samach LeMishkan, V'shtayim Zu Eitzel Zu Lefneim, Derech HaLichasan, they would pass it the way they would walk or move, La'orech Rishis Rabim, the length of Rishis Rabim, Shirotim Lehalach, so it would move forward, they pass the everything forward or backwards. Achar Amud Ha'anon, HaLich Lefneim, they'd follow the cloud as the cloud would pave the way. U'porke Mishkan, those who would take apart the Mishkan, Hayu Moshitin HaKrashim, they would pass the beams, La'osan Shal Shtei HaGalas, those who were on the wagons, HaSmuchos LeMishkan. So the ones right next to it, they pass the beams to the first wagon, V'hein, then people on the wagon, Moshitin La'osan Lefneim, they pass it the ones in front of them, or really behind them, Aval Me'agala La'gala, to the side, Shabbat Seida, Lo Yotzuchin La'osh. You don't need to pass it to the ones next to it, only ones in front or behind it. So that's how it describes it. And therefore, since the Hoshata that took place in the Mishkan was Yachid, each Agal was a different Rishus Yachid. Was Rishus Yachid? Rishus Yachid, it wasn't passing over Rishus Rabim. It wasn't going over the So we'll see in a second. Those distances are almost like extensions off of the, but not Rishus Rabim itself. So exactly, there's a little bit, right. It's not where the Rishus Rabim would walk through, but it's still. There was a little separation we'll see addressed in just a second. But it wasn't a case of Rishus Rabim, a full Rishus Rabim in the middle. So that's where the Chachamim come from. So then back to the Mishnah now. The Mishnah says, Hamoshit Vazorik Mizolozo Pater. We do that. Hayushtein Bidyota Achas. Let's say they're both on Diyota Achas, which Rashi says they're both in an Aliyah, in some type of attic above. Sorry? Yeah, okay, it could be a balcony. They call it balcony. Okay, bidyota. Yeah, bidyota up above. Achas moshit, one guy who passes is chayiv, but hazorik would be pater. Passing would be chayiv, but one who throws would be pater. Shekach hayasa avodas halavim, that's how levim would work. This is how Rashi explained before. That shtei agalos zuacharzu, brishis rabim, two wagons would be behind each other, they'd be moshitin hakrashim zel lezo. Avalozorik, and they wouldn't throw them. So right now all we have is, when it comes to Hoshata, Hoshata is only tshuva to yachid, without a Rishis Rabbim passing in between. But we'll see Zrika, we'll look in the Gemara where the source of Zrika is, when it came to Zorik, throwing from yachid to Rishis Rabbim would be a problem. We'll see how that comes out in the Mishnah, there's such a source for this. So that's where we stand. Now look at just Rashi. Rashi said, the last Rashi in the Amud here, says Rashi, Avalo Zorkan, She'ein Osan Krashim Nizrakos Mipnei Kovdan. They wouldn't throw the Krashim because it's too heavy. Now, some have a Girsan Rashi Mishim Kvodim because of the honor, Bizayim. So this becomes a source. They point out that you shouldn't throw the Krashim, and so too you shouldn't throw any mitzvahs. You shouldn't throw tzitzis. You even think, certainly that which has a Dvam Shem Kedusha, Kisvei Kodesh, a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, that certainly should not be thrown. But even that which is a Talis or tzitzis, which is just the mitzvah Alma, you know, the Krashim were not a Kedusha in terms of, it might have been in terms of Hektish, but there was no Kisvei Kodesh. It was a mitzvah. We can't throw items that are mitzvahs, and they point to this Rashi as a raya for such a concept. Because it's not mishum kovdan, but it should really be mishum kvodam, the honor, and not being mevazeh. Okay, so let's go through now, figure out a little bit more about Zrika and Hoshata. So the Gemara says in the very top now on Amud Beis here, Michti. Zrika tolda d'otzahi. Zrika is really a tolda of Hotzah. Hotzah gufa hecha ksiva. Where do you find Hotzah in the pasuk? We have to have a pasuk. Now, why do you have to have a pasuk? That's strange. No, we don't have a pasuk for Zareya, for Kotzer. Why do you have to have a pasuk for Hotzah? What's the question even based on? So if you look at Tosos on the top, Tosos says that Hotzah gufa hecha ksiva, v'yafa gav shayisu b'mishkan, even though we know it took place in the Mishkan, and that's to be sufficient ground for it to be malacha, ab malacha kedamar heim horidu krashim agala, mikol makom ilav d'chsiv, if there had not been a pasuk describing Hotzah Zrika, Lohava mechayva hotzah, rather, you wouldn't be mechayv for hotzah, nefisha melacha gruahi. It's a low level melacha, like we saw all in the beginning of Tosos Daf Beis. So therefore, you have to kind of beef it up, not only that it was present in the Mishkan, but also that there was a pasuk that supports such an idea.
And this low level melacha, what is the punishment? What's the fact that it's low level? What does that make it?
Oh, there are many different instances, but the fact that, the very fact you need a pasuk, halach lemaisa, I don't remember what this, or Zeru, I don't remember what he says about this. But Melacha Gru always comes up about certain leniencies. I don't know what the leniencies, I don't remember what they are. So then the Gemara says as follows. So Hotzah Gufa Hecha Ksiva. Where's the pasuk that describes Hotzah, that Hotzah is in fact Aser Midiraisa? So Amar Reb Yochanan, Damar Kra, the pasuk says, Vayitzav Moshe, Vayaviru Kol B'machana. So Moshe commanded them, and the voice went out. What was he describing? What's the context here? So the context is when they brought enough of the dedication to the Mishkan, he says, it's enough already. Al Yasu od melacha l'tshumas hakodesh v'yikali ha'am mi'havi. So stop bringing it, it's enough. So that was the message he sent. And Moshe says to Gemara, Moshe heichan hava yasu. Where is Moshe sitting? B'machna l'viyah. B'machna l'viyah, Rishis Rabim hava. It was in Rishis Rabim. How do we know it's Rishis Rabim? So Rashi says here, Machna Leviya Rishis Rabim hi, Shahayu Hakol Mitsuin Eitz Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone came to Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, all 600,000 men were there all the time. So this actually becomes the source of a machlokas when you define Rishis Rabim. So some say Rishis Rabim is defined by 16 amos. Others say you need 600,000 people. Now 600,000 people, is that in one place at one time, or is it passing throughout the day? So the fact that Rashi says where Moshe was, that everyone came to Moshe at one given time, you need 600,000 people in one given moment. But if they pass through over the day, if they're not there in one time, then it doesn't work. But Moshe argues, or Moshe says, no, even though Rashi says, that's the Mishkas Yaakov that I said, that in the Osa Malkum, one place you need 600,000 people. But Moshe says, no, Machna Via was certainly a Rishis Rabim because they were all there at one time, but even the rest of Machna Yisrael was also Rishis Rabim, even though not every Degel had 600,000 people, but since over the course of the day, the streets connected to each other, enough to have 600,000 people over the course of the entire city, not in one very area.
So that's my question, because let's say there's a city where there is, let's say, 10 million people. Is that the whole thing is considered like one
that's the debate. That's the whole debate. Right. Rav Moshe thinks all the streets are connected. You have to take into account all of Manhattan. Others say, no, you need to have one place. If there's a place where 600,000 people are there at one given moment, then that's Rishis Rabim. Now, how do you define a moment, an area? Is it an entire city?
Let's say the five towns would be considered a separate area than Manhattan.
Yeah. So this is subject to debate, how one defines it, what's the location, how much time are we given.
That's the base that a lot of people don't carry in an area.
Correct, exactly. So this Rashi is very key for that discussion. So then the Gemara says, okay, so now we've established that Moshe Rabbeinu was in Machne Levi'a, and all 600,000 people would come there every day, so it was all very dense there. So now the Gemara says, so what's the Raya still? So the Raya was, hold on a second, so he said, don't bring any more, don't carry any more Nedavos. So he says, so no more Hotzah. He said, no more Hotzah, no more carrying anymore. So it sounds like Hotzah's Aser at that point. So the Gemara says, he says to Klai, don't bring any more. No more Hotzah. Don't bring from your Rishis Yachid to Rishis Rabim. So now we're all asking the question, well, who says this has to do with Shabbos? It has to do with completing the Mishkan. Who says it's Shabbos? Maybe this was a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or whatever. Because they completed the Melacha is why we told them to stop bringing. Nothing to do with a mitzvah, an Isser Hotzah. That the Melacha is enough. We don't need any more help. So the Gemara.
According to the question, how does this work? If we hold that, let's say, like the whole area is considered 600,000, you want to say like the whole New York, then we would be. Then how could you have Shusha Yachad or Shusha Rabin? Then the whole.
No, the understanding was that Moshe Rabbeinu was, according to the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Rosh Rabbim, everywhere else was a Rosh Yachid.
We said the Machlokas Moshe and Mishkan Siakov. According to the Moshe, it doesn't make sense that if you say the whole thing is Rosh Rabbim.
So you could still say there was a clear division, so one didn't.
Right. Rashi's Me'o Aleichem from their Ohel. Their Ohel certainly was Rosh Yachid inside their house. That certainly is a Rosh Yachid. Very good, though. Rashi then says, either way, what's the source here? The Gemara says, "Gamar ha'avara ha'avar miyom Kippur." We have a gezer shava. It says, "Ksiv ha'chavai aviru kol b'machane." Ksiv ha'sim by Yom Kippur. It says, "V'havarta shofar chua." It says, "V'havarta yom chua." Just like it's shofar chua. Mala halon b'yom aser. Just like v'havarta is in the context of a day, it's aser, naming Yom Kippur. Afkan here as well for the gezer shava b'yom aser. Meaning, when the word "v'havir" is used, it's referring to a day that's aser. What's a day? It's aser. Must be Shabbos. So Rashi is saying it's Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying it's Shabbos, no longer, don't bring anymore, and therefore it was a remez for the Isser of Hotzah. Okay. So the Gemara now says, Ashkechan Hotzah, we've now found the source for Hotzah, the Hotzah is Aser. But what about Hachnasa? How do you know Hachnasa, bringing something in from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim inside to Rosh Hashanah Yachid? What's the source that is Aser? Svarhi, that's a logical statement to say. Because michte mirushus l'vashus who it's one domain to another domain mali apuke mali aule, who cares whether you're taking out, you're bringing in, you're changing from one rishus to another rishus, and therefore it's logical to say that there's no difference. Miu hotza av hachnasa tolda. Nonetheless, hotza is the av malacha and hachnasa is simply the tolda. They're both chayv skila, they're both chayv karbanos, but at the same time it's just that hachnasa is a tolda of hotza. Umichti aha mechayv. They're both chayv. Amai karle hai av, my karle hai tolda. Why are you calling one av, one a tolda? Now, this is a Gemara that appears a few places in Shas. Baba Kama is one of them and elsewhere. So who cares whether it's an av or a tolda? So the Gemara says, nafkamina, di avid shte avos bahadeh hadad. If you do different avos, you do a hotzah and zareya, you're chayv two chataos. As opposed to doing an av and a tolda, you only chayv one. Inami, alternatively, shte toldos bahadeh hadad. If you do two toldos of two avos, you do, let's say, noteya. Well, noteya might be an av, actually. But you do mashke, which is a tolda of zareya, and you do hachnasa. Those are two different toldos of two different avos. Those are also chayv. Now, however, iavid av v'tolda didei. You do an av and its own tolda, hotzah and hachnasa. Or zareya and mashke, lo mechayv elachada. The tolda is subsumed under the chatas of the av. So that's the nafkamina of an av and a tolda in terms of how many karbanos. Now, Tosus points out there's another nafkamina. Tosos Ulu Rebbe Eliezer, we didn't see Rebbe Eliezer yet, but still we could see this in Tosos. Havi Matzi Lameimar Dinafkamina Linin Hasra. We saw Din, you have to know what Av is, which part of which Av it is. Now we discussed, I know yesterday's Shir, whether or not taking a choliv, milking an animal, is that kotzer or is that dash? So you have to know, if you see a guy about to milk a cow, you're chayv mishum dash, or you're chayv mishum kotzer. You have to give the right av. So that's another nafkamina with the Gemara could have said.
You say both, this, you're going to be chayiv. Well, this close to Ordash. You say
that? Is that right. I'm not sure. I think the Minchas Chinuch actually discusses this. There's a Minchas Chinuch to how descriptive does one have to be about giving Hasra. So I think he suggests even saying Lo Sasem Malacha B'Shabbos, according to the Pasuk, that might be sufficient without being so specific. But it's hard to say that because the Gemara itself asks the question, Mishumai Masrinim Be. When it came to, I forget which case, the Gemara we haven't seen yet together, but it's been quoted, you have to know, it sounds like you have to be specific which of.
Also, you have to describe the Misa.
The Gemara in Sanhedrin says the Misa as well. Yes, yeah, I think so.
This means this question, the Gemara Ashkan Hosa, where do we know Haknasa? Did we have the first Mishnah in the Safa Shabbos?
It didn't bring the source. It didn't bring a source of it. I don't think. Just spoke about it, but didn't give the makor for it.
Why can it say? You already learned it in the Mishnah.
You need to have a pasuk. You want to have a pasuk for it. So the Gemara then says, "Vayter, the Avid Avid told it today. Lo Machayv Elachad. They only do one. Fine." The Rebbe Eliezer, the Mechayv Atolda b'Mokom Av, he holds even when you do the Tolda of its own Av, you do both of them. You do Zareya and Mashke or Hotza and Achnasa. You're still Chayv two separate Avos. My Karli Av va my Karli Tolda. Why you have terms? What's the need for names of an Av and a Tolda? There's no Nafkamina. So he says Hach Tahavi b'Mishkan. This is also the number of Girsels here. How to read this Gemara? Hach Tahavi b'Mishkan. That which was in the Mishkan. Chashivi, also the word chashivi, there's two things. One is in the Mishkan, one is it's also significant. It's a significant act. Karli Av, it's called an Av. Hach delohavi b'mishkan, that which was not in the Mishkan, and also chashivi lo karli, it's not called a chashivi ma'amlacha Av. I'm sorry, one second here. I skipped a line, I think. One more time. Hach delohavi b'mishkan chashivi karli Av. Hach delohavi b'mishkan chashivi lo karli, it's not called an Av. Or inami. Hach de ksivi, that which is written, is kari av. Hach de lo ksivi, kari toldo. That which is not written is called a toldo. So if it's found in the pasuk somewhere in the Torah, so that's certainly going to be an av. If it's not, it's a toldo. If it was in the Mishkan, or it's significant, or a combination of the two, that would be called an av. If it was not in the Mishkan, or it's not a significant act, even though it was in the Mishkan, that would be called a toldo. So again, this is subject to girsos. If you're ready to look at Tosos, Tosos has another girsa about this, whether the emphasis was on the Mishkan, or the emphasis that was the chashivas of the av, that's subject to a debate based on girsos.
According to everybody, you don't say the Mishkan chashiva that was important in the Mishkan. It's just...
No, so I think some girsos have both them, but what was
in the Mishkan.
Exactly. So the number of girsos, what is the focus of it? So that's why. So there's no real nafkamina here, according to Balazar. It's simply just, you know, there's no real answer here. It's just, what's an av and a tolda is a different terms. So the Gemara now says, V'hoditzan, the Mishnah which tells us, Hazorik dal amos bekosel, one who throws something dal amos, we're talking about, Rashi says, a devela shemed, a fat fig cake, which is going to stick to the wall. You throw it and it sticks to the wall. So you throw it dal amos bekosel, Lemala me'asar tvachim, above 10 tvachim, it's kizorik ba'avir, it's like throwing in the air. And the significance of that is, because if you just look at Rashi, kizorik ba'avir, upater, delo nach b'rishas rabim, if you throw in the air, if it never drops, it doesn't drop b'rishas rabim, you're not chai for throwing from yachet to rabim. Zayin rishas rabim lemala me'asara. Rishas rabim has a cap. You know, we think rishas rabim where you walk around, but 10 tvachim is not very high.
No.
Above this already probably is no longer rishas rabim anymore. It's a very low. So if you throw it, it gets stuck in the air. It's like hovering. You have not violated Rishus Rabim, rather Hotza. Right, a drone. Rishus Yachid, Nami, Lo Nach. It didn't rest in Rishus Yachid because She'ena Makam Mesuyam. Yachid has to be defined as Makam Mesuyam, a 4x4 on top of something, on the side of a wall. That's not a Makam Mesuyam. It's not a defined Makam to be considered Rishus Yachid. Sharei Lo Nach, Birosha Kosel, El Befanav. It didn't land on top of the Kosel, but rather on the side of the Kosel. So throwing something in onto a sticking to a wall above 10 Tvachim is Pater. And the Mishnah continues and says, however, Lamate Me'asar Tvachim. If you throw onto the wall below 10 Tvachim, that's Kizark Ba'aretz, like throwing on the ground. For Zark Ba'aretz, Dal Amos Chayv. Those who throw on the ground, Dal Amos, in Rishus Rabim, would be Chayv. So the Gemara then says, Amar, how do you know that if you throw something in Rishus Rabim, Dal Amos Yechayev? That goes back to the Mishnah. Our Mishnah said Hazorik is Chayev, so now the Gemara wants to get to what's the source that throwing Dal Amos Rishus Rabim is going to be Chayev. So Amar Rabbi Yoshia, Shekain Orge Yirios. I'm going to need a little bit of the article's help here to understand these terms. Now with Ricky present, he could be helpful here. But
I just one question before. But there's also another measure of shadosh tvachim, right? That it's like nach on the ground.
Or that's we're talking about. That's a different din about
it's
three.
A different din, yeah. If it's below.
Right now, Rosh Hashanah, it goes 10 tvachim. That's a din. So anything below that. 3 tvachim is a different concept of being mamish part of the karka.
Right. Because even according to the Mishnah, if somebody throws from Rosh Hashanah, a yachil yachil, even according to the one who says that it's potter, if he throws it below through Shadosh tvachim, it's like it's not on the ground.
Exactly, yeah.
That would be the case of the.
Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara then says, how do you know, again, Zark, Arba Amos, Rosh Hashanah, Minolim, Dimachayiv? So Amar Rabbi Yoshia, Shekein Orge Yirios Zorkin Mechatein Zelzeh. When they'd, the weavers would use their needles, they'd throw the needles to each other. So now the Gemara says, Orgin Mechatein Lamalu, people who weave don't use needles. Needles are to sew, not to weave. So why would a weaver have a needle? So Ella Shekein Tofer Yirios, the ones who sew, the tailors who would sew the curtains, Zorkin Mechatein Zelzeh. They'd throw the needles to each other when they'd have to pass one, share the needles. So Gemara says, okay, fine. They throw the needles to each other. But who says that was Dada Amos? Dilma Gabe Hadade Habiyasu. Maybe they're sitting next to each other and they didn't pass Dada Amos. Maybe it was less than Dada Amos. So Gemara says, Mate Hadade Ibn Mechatin. They couldn't sit next to each other. Otherwise, they'd poke each other as they sew the garment. They poke the guy. So you need a few feet away from each other to have proper distance not to injure. So therefore, they were not sitting next to each other. And they must have thrown the needles to each other. It must have been Dada Amos. Gemara says, Dilma Besoch Arba Amos Habiyasu. Maybe they sat within 4 Amos. Maybe they weren't shoulder to shoulder. Maybe they were 2 Amos away. That was enough distance for them to have. So the Gemara says, Ella Amar Rav Chista Shekein Orgi Rios Zorkin Buchyar Biria. That they throw what they call here a shuttle across the width of the curtain. The way they make these things, moving back and forth, so then you need space to go back and forth. So that would go Dal Amos this way and that way. So the Gemara says, "Valo og de biyado." But even when they throw it, it kind of send it down the loom. They still hold on to a string. It wouldn't like release it entirely from their hand. They chop it that way. But there's a little string apparently that's attached that they're holding on to even after it's thrown down the loom. So beniska basre. Talking about the last piece of thread where they're not holding on to it. The last, sending the shuttle down, they no longer need to hold on to anymore. And that was when a distance of dal amos. Gemara says, "Vahav." But isn't this in a Makom Ptur? Why are we talking about Makom Ptur? So Rashi explains it. If you look at Rashi, Makom Ptur Azla, Bein Dofni Ayuria, the walls of the curtain being made, Vein Tereh Shisarabim, Ela Makom Ptur, Dein Rach of Dalet. The curtain itself seemingly wasn't Dalet Amos wide. It was less than that, each curtain that they were making. So when they pass the shuttle back and forth in this loom, weaving it.
No,
so,
what happens is, it's like this. You have threads go on top and under, and then what happens? They cross here, and then the loom goes, and then the yarn
right.
goes in the middle.
Right.
So what it's saying is that this area between the two threads, between the bottom bunch of threads and the top, that's a makom ptur.
Because it's less than it's not rishus yachid because it's not dal amos wide, or dal tfachim
right.
wide.
Exactly. So yeah.
So that's passing in the makom ptur, and that can't be used as a model of throwing this.
The trajectory of the thing is in an area where it's not comfortable.
So it's less than 4 tvachim, and therefore, since it's so small, it's not can't be used as a. It's not a model of a rishus yachid or rishus rabim here. It's a makom ptur. So ella shekein orge yirios zorkin buchyar l'shalem. No, not that when they're making their own curtain, were they keeping it. When they finished using their shuttle, they threw it to the guy next to him who was doing. That was a distance of dal amos. That's what we're describing. The dilma gavi hadadei habayasu. Maybe they're sitting next to each other also. Versus Mata Hadade Bechefas, they couldn't because as they make the curtains, it bump into the guy next to them. They couldn't be right next to each other. There must have been some distance between one guy and the next guy. The Dilma Shalchufe Hava Mishalcha. Maybe they weren't sitting next to each other, but maybe one in front of the next. Meaning as opposed to me next to Reuven. Reuven was next to me, but he was back 5 inches. So my elbow wasn't hitting him, and his elbow wasn't hitting him, but it wasn't Dal Amos away. It was like more of an angle behind me or an angle in front of me, but not a distance of Dal Amos. So, moreover, furthermore, Mishali Madadi, do people borrow each other's tools like this? Everyone wants their own instruments. You don't need to borrow the guys. Tanya Luda, doesn't the Brisa teach us that in Luda, Ish Mimlachto Asher Hema Osim, each person would make their own curtain, their own clothing. Mimlachto Osev, Eina Osim Mimlachas Chaver. He wouldn't make and use his own, some other guy's tools. So there was no sharing going on here. Visu, on top of this, another question. How do you know when a person carries Dal Amos? We're looking for a question of Zorik. Well, what about carrying? All we spoke about was hotzah. You know, Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim means I'm here, and I bring out one step to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or vice versa. But what about walking Dalat Amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? That was never discussed. So we don't have a good source for Zerika. We don't have any source.
Without doing Hanacha or...
No, Akira Hanacha. There are two types. And normally, Hotzah, there's two ways of Hotzah. There's one Rosh Hashanah to the other Rosh Hashanah, right, even within Dalat Amos, just stepping over the border. And number two is in Rosh Hashanah itself, walking Dalat Amos straight in Rosh Hashanah with an Akira Hanacha 6 feet later. That's a Mavir Dalat Amos. And now we're looking for a Zerika, where the source of Zerika is. And we haven't even discussed Hoshata, though the Gemara had addressed, the Rashi addressed Hoshata a little bit. But we don't have a source for Zerika. We don't have a source for Havara, Mavir. So what's the basis for all this? Ella, Kol Arba Amos, Bereshith Rabbim, Gemara, Gemirle. We have a tradition. Anything that has to do with four Amos and Bereshith Rabbim, that's a tradition. When it came to Tzah, that's not Dal Amos. The Tzah is one domain to another domain, even if it's just half an Amos. That you need a pasuk for. And when it comes to Hoshata, which is also not Dal Amos, Hoshata is just passing from one Rishus to another Rishus, that's also no Dal Amos, that you need a source for. But any Hotzah that requires Dal Amos, either through Mavir Dal Amos or through Zorik Dal Amos, that is a halacha Moshe Sinai that we have, and that's the basis for such a concept. Okay, let's finish off the daf now. The Gemara says, five wide lines down. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mekoshesh Mavir Arba Amos Birshus Rabim Havim. That the Mekoshesh ate him in the Torah. What was his violation? He was Mavir Dal Amos. And Rashi just explains here, Lo Talshin, he didn't do Kotzer. But Lo Imar, he didn't do Ma'amir of gathering food. And Lehevirin Dal Amos Lechach Nerag. He just simply didn't. He schlepped wood in the Midbar of Dal Amos, and that's what it was. He was Mechai for. That's the understanding of Shmuel. Says the Gemara, B'masnisetana, Tolish Havim. No, he did Tolish. He actually plucked where he broke, took the trees out of the ground. Rav Acha, Rabbi Yaakov Amar, Ma'amir Havim. No, he gathered wood. Ma'amir is to gather that which is on the ground. So that was a violation. So three-way machlok is what he did wrong. So the Ma'amir Havim, who cares? Ma'amir Havim, what happened, happened. Why are we trying to figure out what the Mekoshesh Eitzim did? Whether it was a Mavir, whether it was Ma'amir, whether it was Tolish. So the Gemara explains to the Rav, Dama Rav, I think we saw this earlier, much earlier in the Masech, the Daf Vavet says, yes. Dama Rav, Rav Matzasi, Megillas Starim, Bei Rebbe Chiya, he found some scroll of the base message of Rebbe Chiya. The Kasabe, it says that Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Avos, Malachos, Arbam, Chasa Achas, there are 40 minus 1, 39 Malachos, we know. Veinu Chayv, El Achas, you only Chayv one. Achas, Vesulo, you only Chayv for one of the 39 Malachos. Hatar, our mission, Ayin Gimel tells us, Avos, Malachos, Arbam, Chasa Achas, all 39. Favim ba minyana lamali, what's the need for the count? Vam Rabbi Yochanan, Shim Asan, Kulam Behelam Achas, if you do all 39 in one helam, you're chayv al kachas v'achas. So you're certainly chayv all 39. So what's Isi ben Yehuda saying? Ema, let's tweak the statement and say, Einu chayv ela al achas, Einu chayv al achas mem. You're not chayv on one of them, meaning you're only chayv for 38. There's one malacha that Isi ben Yehuda says that you're not chayv on. So that's the statement. So now, which one malacha are you not chayiv on? So according to, we don't hold this way, but at least to understand Isi ben Yehuda, so Rav Yehuda says, Pshitelei de hamavir chayiv. So Rav Yehuda says, we learn from the Mekoshesh Eitzim that Mavir Dal Amos is certainly one that you are chayiv. It can't be that one. So you're trying to like just process of elimination. So certainly the one that you're putter from is not Mavir Dal Amos based on the Mekoshesh Eitzim. That's Rav Yehuda's understanding. The Masnisin says no. Pshitelei de Tolish Chayev. No, the Mekoshesh was Tolish, he was Kotzer, and therefore, since he was Chayev Misa, Kotzer is certainly the one that you are Chayev for. It's not the one that Isi ben Yehuda is referring to. And finally, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov said Pshitelei de Ma'amir Chayev. No, since the Mekoshesh was Ma'amir, that certainly is the one that you're Chayev. That is not the exemption. Umar Savar, Hu Mias Lo Misafke, Umar Savar, Ha Mias Lo Misafke. All they're simply saying is, which one was certain to be chayiv and was not subject to any safek based on the cryptic statement of Isi ben Yehuda. I guess we'll stop.
We'll free those. Everybody holds that's the one that you are
chayiv. Exactly. No, not all three. Each one independent.